Welcome to The Workbench, where each week we take the time and make the space to build and create in our lives. I'm your host, Christina Awe, and I'm a writer, coach, and human resources professional with a deep interest in helping you find clarity, overcome obstacles, plan, and take action on your big dreams and goals. By doing this and sharing the journey, we build and create, and we inspire others to do the same. So let's get to it.
Concept of build, and one of the things that came up for me was the concept of what gets you rolling, what gets you going when you have a build in front of you. And the word for me was muse. And we had agreed that we were gonna use that word as our topic, and you've come back with that you have interesting relationship with the word muse, and right. Wanted to change it to inspiration. So I thought it would be fun to kind of start off with a little debate about muse versus inspiration. Okay. Wait, so if you want to tell me why you have issue with the word muse first.
It's so funny because I've thought about this word for years, and it seems kind of, I don't know, dreamy to me, or not serious, or, you know, I've heard of artists or musicians having someone as their muse, and I never understood what that meant. Like, what, someone's a muse for somebody else? I just couldn't understand it. So I did some research, and in doing my research, what I came across yesterday was a story in the news and here's the headline: tree said to be Dr. Seuss's The Lorax muse has fallen.
Oh no! I love that story. It's one of my favorite.
Yep. So the Lorax, the tree that was Dr. Seuss's muse for the Lorax, had fallen, and that's actually in La Jolla, and it happened just a couple days ago. So it was funny that I've been, you know, fighting with this word and trying to understand how something or someone could be a muse for somebody else. And that popped up, so I thought that was
So what was the gist of the story? Just that it had fallen?
Well, the headline, because we've been talking about muse, right. You know, that captured my eye. But right. Yeah, the gist of the story was that
it had fallen.
Yeah, which is and very sad.
That is just fantastic.
Yeah, so
how relatable that is. Okay. Yeah.
And then there were some definitions that I went to, and I like this one. If it's capitalized, muse, it's any of the nine sister goddesses in Greek mythology presiding over song and poetry and the arts and sciences. Clio is the Greek muse of history. So that was an interesting, that helped me a little bit. And then the definition under that was a source of inspiration, especially a guiding genius. And so all of that kind of helped me understand what was behind that word a little bit more. And I still prefer the word inspiration because it just feels a little more accessible to me for some reason. But,
interesting.
Yeah.
And what's the definition of inspiration?
Well, when you look it up, I didn't take that down, but when I looked up muse and used the thesaurus, inspiration was one of the sister words. So.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah.
So. And I went through the same exercise, okay. Of course, because that's what we do.
We're totally geeking out on this, by the way.
Yeah, which I think is good. I think it's important because what did we say about language? That it is the context for thinking, and thinking is who we are, and it's important to the build to know who we are and what
Absolutely.
We're trying to achieve. So I think getting our heads around this, I think it's important. And at the end of the day, muse and inspiration, I think I wouldn't say that they're interchangeable, but I think that they bring you to the same place of what is it that creates that catalyst or motivation for you to step into something. So I think that we could probably agree that we could use muse or inspiration in this discussion.
I could agree to that.
Yep.
I like the word catalyst a lot, and I feel like that's something that I do for people a lot of times, whether it's buying a really cool pair of shoes that you didn't expect to buy, or considering something new to do with your life or career. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I tend to, you know, I think I texted you last week about stirring the pot with one of my friends,
right.
And how, you know, he's walking down this path to this new endeavor, and I think some of what we talked about inspired him or catalyzed him to do that.
Right.
So I love that word. I think it's a really fun word.
Yeah, so you are a muse for people, it sounds like.
I really don't like that word.
Because it is, what I like about the word muse is that it's a noun in a lot of ways. I mean, you can use it both ways. It can be a noun or a verb, which also I like about it because it has all these rich layers to it in what it represents. And I think that gives it all these multifaceted sort of meanings and uses. But so, yeah, when you say you are a catalyst, I think you are a muse. I mean, I know you've been a muse for me on so many different levels.
Yeah, it's funny that I still have this feeling about that word.
Yeah.
The reaction to it.
Yeah. Even which knowing. You are absolutely entitled to that feeling.
That's so funny. All right, I'm going to just jump in and intro this for us. So we are here in Encinitas, California for another episode of the Workbench Podcast, where it's all about the build. Today, Lynn and I are going to talk about what has inspired the building of this podcast, as well as some of the muses that have influenced our other big projects and goals. All right. So
I guess in our continued conversation here, did you want to drop into the questions, or what did you want to talk about? Did you want to talk about the building of this podcast, or did you want to go with this?
You know, I think let's do the questions, because I think the rest of it will emerge from that.
Okay.
So, I will start with my first question for you. And this is, comes off what you said just before the intro, is what or who do you consider to be your primary muse or muses?
So I would say when I look back at myself, that my muses tend to be, I think people definitely are a part of it, but it's more when I see or hear something. If I see something that inspires me, I see a building, or I see a fantastic dashboard related to my work, something like that.
I love that a dashboard will do that for you.
Yeah, that will get me rolling on wanting to then create something. So if I read something fantastic, or I'm listening to a podcast or music, I think it's other people's builds, I guess, ultimately, which inspire me to then want to step into a build.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What, so to your, to getting, you know, we talked a little bit about your business last time, and I think it would be interesting to apply this concept to that. And so talk a little bit about what allowed you to make that jump from working internally to an organization to deciding to go out on your own. I know there were some circumstances that contributed to that, but tell us a little bit more about that.
So I would say, and it's interesting how you put that, what allowed me to make the jump to go work for myself. I think that I am built to be out on my own, to be a consultant, and that for me, it's more what would get me to work in more of a corporate atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the reverse for me. It's really, I think I get overwhelmed when I'm in the corporate atmosphere and there's lots of people and lots of people coming at me, and it's hard for me to kind of maneuver through all that. So I am always drawn to being a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of my activity directs me toward that situation. Right after my first daughter was born, I was doing consulting work and then went back into the corporate world. So it's been kind of like an on and off thing that I'm always veering back into the land of the consultant. And I've been doing it now for, I guess, 10 years, 100%. And I don't see myself going back the other way. I like the flexibility. I like the independence. I like being able to get into my own space. I like working with lots of different companies, mm-hmm. opposed to just one arena. So I know I'm not totally answering your question, but I think it's something that I'm just drawn to and pulled to.
Do you find in the subject of inspiration or catalyst that you're able to take information from your different companies or inputs from your different companies and apply some of your learnings or problem solving to other clients?
Absolutely. I have one client that has repeatedly said, when are you going to come work for us full time? And while I am very attracted to the thought of doing that because I love them so much and I love being around them, my ultimate answer was, I bring more value to you as a consultant because I'm bringing so much experience and information from all of my other clients and my exposure to all these other things. It's just, it makes me a better consultant or partner for them.
Yeah,
because of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that when you're in one industry that you can, it's why a lot of companies bring in coaches and consultants to come in and kind of help them to get to the next step a lot of times, because you're so engrossed in that world that you've set up that sometimes it's hard to see.
It's nice to have the outsider perspective.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it my turn to ask you a question?
Yep.
All right. So let me see which one of these. I think that, because I like the word muse, I'm tending more to think about the creative process. And so my question for you is, what do you consider to be a creative endeavor?
I think my definition's pretty broad.
Okay.
I used to think that I wasn't creative, which is pretty funny now when I think about it, because a lot of what I've done in my life is clearly creative. And, you know, I think I need to shout out to my mom on this one, because she helped me see that I was creative when I just didn't see it for some reason. I defined it very narrowly for a long time. So what do I... Ask the question again, because I'm a little...
What do you consider to be a creative endeavor?
A creative endeavor. I really think that anything we do can be creative. I really do. I think if you're making dinner and you substitute an ingredient because you don't have it, that's creative. And I think that... in work, we can be creative with the things that we build within the workplace to make our jobs easier. And so I think, and I get a lot of inspiration from other people's ideas, and I apply, and I take what I love and what I think is so fun is to take them and apply them to whatever it is I'm doing, and then do it across my life in different areas. So I really feel like there's not a lot that's not creative.
Yeah. Okay.
I really do.
Yeah. And I get, you know, again, with my leading questions, would kind of tend to think the same way.
Yeah.
And think that every build potentially has this need for creativity. And sometimes people might be put off by stepping into a build because they don't consider themselves creative or able to step into that world. And so if you can flip your understanding of what creativity is and see that pretty much living is creative, and everything has
you're adapting.
Yeah. And it makes that process of stepping into a build less threatening or less scary, because you're just living. You're just doing what you always do, because life is creative.
And I think iteration, when you think about the concept of iteration, and I don't know if that's a common term out in the world. I know that mm-hmm. we talk about it a lot from a startup standpoint, mm-hmm. where you start something and it's, 1.0, and then you fuss with it and make it a little better, and then you have different versions and you iterate with them. And I think that's what we're doing with life anyway, mm-hmm. is we're iterating, we're trying to get better at certain things in our lives that we deem important. And so when you start thinking about iteration, it takes the pressure off having to be creative in this kind of artist way, and then you can look at if you're a file clerk filing, you can have creativity in how you organize certain things or how you organize your process, and that might seem dry and dull, but that's being creative and really thinking. Exactly. It's really about thinking about what you're trying to do, and then applying good ideas to that, or the ideas that are appropriate to that. And so I love that idea of iteration, because it takes the pressure off. You're able to, mm-hmm. okay, that didn't go well. All right, I'm going to change this or that and try it again and see what we have.
Right.
So that's pretty fun too. It allows you to have a little fun or to play a little bit with certain things at work or out of work.
Yeah.
And it's not just for painting or piano
exactly.
or baking or cooking or any of those artistic disciplines.
So. Exactly. A creative endeavor is not necessarily just associated with creating art. Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the gist of this. And that even when you are creating art, there's going to be massive amounts of iterations that you're going to go through until you get to that place that you want to be with your piece.
I love it. I mean, we both love the process part of stuff too. Like finding the little, it's like, the breadcrumbs that you find along the trail. Like, so-and-so did this or tried that, and here's how it turned out. And I'm going to take that and apply it to something different and see what it brings.
Yeah. And sometimes when you have that concept or idea at the beginning, and then you're going through those iterations, and all of a sudden you start to see things morph a little bit, but they turn out to be so much better. Because you allowed that process to occur.
That's really fun. I think that's really fun.
And
I love, I think what I, when I am in, when I'm in a project at work or at home, whether it's a writing project or a work project or, doing something in the HR realm, I have a lot of fun as I'm doing the project, keeping a notepad beside me and just writing down the ideas that come from that I can do or use in a different arena. And that happens to me a lot. And so I think the different inspirations I get come out of seemingly nowhere, but they're generated by doing a different kind of work, and I'm not really actively thinking about the other project in the moment. So
So recognizing kind of your state of being at that moment, like where it puts you, is that
in a lot? Well, it's trusting or knowing that being in that, doing a certain project will invariably surface other ideas for some of the other things that I'm working on, and so there's crossover in the inspiration, and that is, I think that is the most fun part of the process, is having those things surface unexpectedly.
Very cool, and what you can take from here and apply to something else.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome.
So that has been unexpected fun learning in the last couple of years of how that works for me. I think it may work differently for others, but either way, there's these sources of inspiration or catalysts that, I can't use that word muse. I just can't use it.
It's okay.
I really don't like it.
They're all good.
Sorry.
Good words.
It's so funny. Every time I don't say it, I feel like I'm doing you wrong. So.
No, I like all the words. They're all good.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's the relationship with the word that's important. So do you find, and this is just kind of bouncing off a little bit more of what we were talking about, that you've, that when you've got something that becomes repetitive, you've built up this system, you've made a build, you've made it repetitive, that you're almost drawn to creating another build, like that you're wanting to step out of doing the thing over and over again. Okay, now it's time to go build something else.
Yeah, and I love, like, I don't ever get sick of looking forward. And I've got a bunch of stuff in the pipeline in both work, you know, my day job and my writing and podcasting and art work that I like to do. So I find it occasionally frustrating to not have more time to do it. But I also feel like the time constraints really focus me. So it's an interesting balance of you know, always feeling like I'd like a little bit more time, but knowing that that the schedule I already have forces me to really spend time where I really want to, or where I'm really going to get a result. So it's a good tension. It's kind of,
yeah,
it's an interesting balance.
I remember years ago, somebody said to me that the less time she has available, that the more she gets done, because she was able to be so much more efficient and productive with that, knowing that she had this kind of like
constraint.
Yeah. And so it puts you into that mode of really, what's the best way to do this, and really getting a result.
Well, and then you cut out a lot of unnecessary stuff that doesn't need to happen or need to be done, or that you really decide that you don't want to spend time on, or that it won't bring the value for the time spent. So I think that is a beautiful benefit of the time constraint.
Yeah.
It allows you to get really clear and say no.
Maybe that's why some of us, speaking of myself here, are drawn to filling up our plates, so to speak, and that concept of being busy is because of that state that it puts you in of accomplishment and creativity and the build. I mean, there may be something to
there
why.
There may be something to that.
Yeah, I'm not as drawn to stillness, and I do so see the value in stillness and enjoy stillness, but I'm also very drawn to the polar opposite of that, I think.
I think it's a certain kind of busyness too. So if you're just doing the same thing and you're not really achieving anything beyond administrative tasks or things that don't really fulfill you. And we all have a portion of that in our lives that we just have to do, admin work, or, you know, you have to make sure
the dishes.
I mean, there's a baseline of stuff that needs to happen, and that's okay. But I think for a lot of people that haven't spent time thinking about or aren't sure where they want to spend their time, can get caught up in the busyness for busyness's sake, which is not satisfying and does lead to anxiety and this kind of feeling of unease,
crazy making.
And then we're also not well versed in saying no to certain things or allowing ourselves to say no to certain things. And so I think that can really draw down on your creative energies. And so when you start reading and thinking about doing deep work and being distraction free for a period of time so you can get into a zone, that takes some practice to get there. And until you experience it, you can't understand how awesome it feels to allow yourself to do that. I mean, it's hard to allow yourself to do that in the way we've set up our world today. But once you do, it you can't really go back. It's like drinking the good wine.
Yeah.
You can't really go back to drinking the bad wine, or you don't enjoy it as much,
at least.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. The concept of busy for busy's sake, or stepping into this place where you're not feeling good, being conscious of how you're feeling, that self-awareness of when you're so incredibly busy and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and you can't even see your way clear.
Yeah.
You can't even figure out how to take that 15 minutes at the start of the day to organize yourself. And that's probably the most important 15 minutes you could spend for your day. And there is, you know, when you're buried like that, you can't get to it. And yet that's what you need. And so it's this terrible kind of cycle that a lot of us get in. I mean, we all get in it at times and can't see our way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about, you know, it's okay if someone gets upset with you. That's the other thing. Like, you don't want to hurt yourself in your career or your job with your boss, but it's okay to be unavailable for a little bit of time in service to productivity or in service to your dreams and goals. And I think we don't feel like we can allow that, or we're too nervous, or we're not clear that it's okay for someone to wait a little bit for an answer on most things.
Sure. And if you do start getting into your head that concept of, what is it I'm trying to achieve here? What are my goals?
Yeah.
What is it that I want to accomplish, that can drive some of your decision making in terms of not responding to everything or not necessarily taking on all the tasks that you've taken on, because they are not going to get you to that ultimate result.
And clearing the decks enough. So talking about muse or inspiration or catalyst, you have to have, I read somewhere, there was a woman named Ariel Gore that wrote a book on motherhood that I was reading right after Alex, my son, was born. So that was about 16 years ago. And she had these amazing essays. And she had one about how creativity, you need a good chunk of leisure time to allow yourself to be creative, because you need, and so we feel bored if we don't have every minute accounted for, but that's when things start to come to the surface in our brains. There's actually a little bit of breathing room for us to dream or to think or to muse.
Yeah.
And that was a pivotal concept for me in terms of, wow, leisure as generating some creative energy.
Absolutely.
I think
about, I'll be struggling with a spreadsheet. Yes, I'm a nerd. And I'm trying to, like, you know, make something work, and I will put it aside and I will get myself a good rest, sleep, wake up in the morning, and I can just boom, it's done. And I have to remind myself of how important it is sometimes just to step away and go rest or change what you're doing, and that it all does kind of like just come together.
Well, our brains are amazing, and the fact that we can kind of step away from something like that and not be actively thinking about it, but it's solving, there's things that are being solved in our brains. And then if you can recognize that in the moment, you have power over it. Like, you gain so much power in that. And we all have the capacity for that.
Yeah.
So, but there needs to be a little bit of breathing room. So, it's pretty interesting. I was thinking a little bit more about this, and I talked a little bit about crosswork and how you're engaged with one thing and other ideas come to the surface. And that's, I find that really fun. But the other thing that really inspires me regularly is just being out for my walks every day, because nature just is so soothing.
Yeah.
And the colors just have always spoken to me, whether it's different greens or flowers or even architecture or anything like that. And I think it's partly what you were saying, is just stepping away from the work that you're doing a little bit and giving yourself a different environment to pay attention to for a little while.
Yeah, it's almost, it's the tree or the forest kind of thing. And the stepping away gives you that broader perspective. And I've talked before about, in my line of work, that one number standing alone has zero meaning unless you put it up against other numbers and you look at how it is relative to the other numbers or the trends. And it's that same sort of thing, that when you're so in something, you're not looking at the bigger world or the bigger picture, that you can almost get stuck. And that stepping away allows you that view.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
So helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a question about what projects or ideas are in the pipeline for development with you, and what are your next steps?
And is this a professional question or a personal question?
This is a, I guess you could go in either direction on this. I mean, I think what we want to do with the Workbench is inspire people to take the steps to building their own goals, whether they're work or personal. And so whatever's speaking to you the most right now.
Okay. I, you know, probably the thing that just comes to my mind, and this seems to be this topic that we're talking about today, is, and it relates to quality of life and having access to the things that make my life feel of quality, and whatever that is. So the work that I'm doing, that it's bringing some sort of joy to me, and
the work specifically, like the clients the work, you have, and
yeah,
the projects that you're
yeah.
in.
Yeah, okay. So I think I'm driven right now to try to bring that into a lot of what I'm doing, that I'm conscious of this thing called life. And maybe this is because I'm, you know, in a midlife crisis, I don't know, but that it's that I want everything to have more value now, and that I'm not just doing things for the sake of doing them. So that's kind of a vague, broad build, I guess, but that is probably in the forefront right now for me.
So designing your life to be supportive of, how would I rephrase that? Recognizing what brings you joy and designing your time and life around that.
Yeah.
To attend to that more regularly.
Yeah, and maybe joy is not the right word, but I guess living in a higher state of excellence, and I don't even know if that's the right word either, but that things are of quality,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not wasting time, mm-hmm. or that I'm a little bit more conscious of the limitations of time, mm-hmm. and life, and that I'm making my choices with that knowledge.
Yeah, which is actually a great place to be, to know what those things are. I mean, I'm assuming that you know what that means for you at this point.
I think I do. I think I'm a lot more aware of how things make me feel, what puts me into a state of feeling inspired, mm-hmm. versus anxious. And being conscious of that feeling and trying to direct my actions more toward that, even in spite of all of the things that come at you in life.
Right.
You know, all the health problems that family members may have, or financial hardships or challenges, mm-hmm. all the things that are always going to present themselves to you, and maintaining that approach in my living is probably first and foremost for me right now. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's more of a higher level, vague.
How does that play out for you? Like, give me an example of what that means from a weekend standpoint.
Well, and I'm thinking professionally, what it means is that I'm real selective in the clients that I want to say yes to.
Right.
I'm more selective about that I don't automatically just take things on anymore. And when I'll get a referral from somebody else, say, are you taking on any more clients? I'll say, well, that depends. And so that I'm being a little bit more thoughtful in my approach with what I'm willing to allow into my life. So professionally, that's been a good thing, because I'm able to pick more who I'm working with, which I enjoy all of my clients so much right now.
Yeah, I never hear you complain.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the past you had some that were more challenging,
right.
And I think, you know, you seem like you, I mean, just from an outsider standpoint, it seems like you have built in time to do the things that you want to do with work and with family and mm-hmm. with friends. And it does seem like your availability is different than it used to be from that standpoint, and that you're pretty clear, which is great to have. I mean, we always are works in progress, but
sure.
But it seems like you've nailed that more than in the past.
And I would say that that's really important to any build, to have some sort of understanding about what it is that you're trying to create in your life. Like, to understand what that means in your life.
Yeah.
I think it's a good sort of process to work through.
I would agree. So I want to talk a little bit about, I don't think we talked about this. I want to talk a little bit about what inspired me to build this podcast.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we should talk about that. And, you know, I was looking back through my journals, and it's been a couple of years that I've been thinking about this, doing this podcast. And I even looked back, so I started actively committing to it about August of last year. But even before that, you had told me to just start doing it.
Right.
Like, I think in 2017, I think you did. So we should just do that. And and so I had originally thought that it was newer than that, but I've been thinking about this for a while. And I think, I don't know why I picked podcasts, except that I really, in my commute, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I really like the format. And I found the podcast that I listen to super inspiring, and I think it's really fun to talk to people and ask questions. So that was the genesis of it. And now getting into it, well, and going back to, I think going through my own midlife crisis, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and really trying to sort out who I was and what I could contribute to the world going forward, I felt like I had more to give, and the writing and the podcast have grown out of that. So that was really the inspiration, was finding my own voice and understanding who I was a little bit, and then wanting to help other people, wanting to be able to help other people do it without as much angst. And I'm hoping that through the writing and through the podcast that we will inspire others to just take a little step, whatever little step they need to take, because I found it so satisfying to do that and to start moving in the direction that felt really right to me. And so I want others to feel that as well.
You want them to be able to do it without so much angst? Is that what you said? Is that
Even though angst is probably some of the stuff that goes along with self-discovery, you have to walk through the hard stuff, but I can still hope that at the very least, if these words or our conversations or the interviews that we end up having with other people shore up someone's resolve a little more quickly, or makes them feel a little less alone in the moment, they'll still have to walk through their transitions and stuff that goes along with it, which is very valuable. But maybe it won't be as hard or as lonely or as difficult.
And so, what I might add to that is that there may be angst and there may be difficulty, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And to not necessarily think that that means you have to stop. Because I if I've discovered anything in life and all the various builds that I've been through, is that they're not always comfortable and pretty and easy.
And they're usually not.
But what comes out of them is comfortable and easy and beautiful.
Yeah.
And so to remember, it's okay, I guess, is what I want to say, is to maybe not have that anticipation of it being like this smooth, easy process, or else you should just stop doing it.
Well, this is going to be a theme with us too. And I think that we talked a little bit about that last time, didn't we? Where it's messy. It's uncomfortable. We shouldn't expect it not to be. And we don't see the end. We only see the end result a lot of the time, so we don't see all the pain that other people go through.
Right.
So the expectation is skewed. And so I think that will end up being a theme for us in talking about whatever we're building and talking about the workbench. And so it's a good reminder. And I know that that would have helped me. Like, okay, it's okay to feel crappy and be crying on the phone to your brother for some help. And then that storm passes and then you're like, okay, I got through that piece of it. I'm one step further along. I know that I'm on the right path. That part was hard and the storms pass. And so I think that would have helped me have a little more grace through that. Had I been more aware. Yeah. I'm ready now. Like, I totally can, whatever happens next for me, I feel like now that I know that, I'll be able to sit in the discomfort a little bit more.
Right.
And that's a huge concept right there. So being able to sit in the discomfort of something new or something different or something you haven't done yet or something that you're iterating.
And is that how you would define grace, is being able to sit through the discomfort?
I guess. Like being aware enough to recognize that that is part of the process. And what comes from that is so much more understanding. And you change, you may change your mind and take a step back. You may halt the process for a little while until you've got the strength to go on or until you've processed information as to what is next. There's a lot of it's not a linear process.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely not linear.
Yeah. And I thought it was, like, when I graduated from my master's program, I thought that was going to be a great year. And that was probably the shittiest year that I had because I was so amped and ready for things to fall into place. But it took another year before I got back to working. And there was still a lot of, you know, real discomfort when I had anticipated being past it. And so that was, I just remember that so clearly. My friend, our friend Debbie said, this is going to be a great year for you. And I'm like, yeah. And then a week later, I'm like, this is not going to be a good year for me. This is more of the same. Yeah. This is terrible, you know?
Expectations.
And now my student loans are coming due. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could have used that knowledge back then, you know, for sure.
Yeah, there is that concept of the expectations and what state that can put us into when the expectations are not met during a build.
You had your own path with that for sure with this remodel that you've been going through.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah. And it just shows up everywhere, though. You know, you're going to my daughter and her wife are pregnant and having a baby, and you have this expectation that this baby's gonna be this one thing, and then the tests come back and maybe it's gonna be something else.
Yeah.
And that state that puts you in, what, you know, that's a build.
And
living through that with grace or whatever the word is, you know, all of that.
The other thing that I feel I want to be part of what I share with people, and this is so important, is that we are so much more resilient than we think we are. And we can handle so much more than we give ourselves credit for. And so just knowing that can be helpful in those moments of real darkness. And whenever you're building something, there are moments of real darkness. I mean, that's just part of it. Because you are risking hope and dreams and resources and time and energy and expectations of yourself and expectations from others. It's a lot. So,
And I think about this concept that you said about grace and how to go through something with some grace. And I think that as you live and you go through builds and you go through that darkness, that you become more resilient and more aware of your ability to go through things, and that builds grace.
It builds grace and more resilience. So again, it doubles back on itself, which is good to know. So I think that summarizes some of my own inspirations for the workbench, and I'd be interested in your perspective on why you've thrown your lot in with me on this.
Why have I thrown my lot in? So I remember us talking, I think it's even more than 2 years ago, about all of the great conversations that we have all the time, and man, somebody should be recording this, or we should be videoing this. Yeah. And the inspiration that we have been for each other, and how we want to share that, and how invigorating it would be to share it. And so I think that's my inspiration to want to be part of this, is I just love this process.
It's
so
really
much.
Fun.
Yeah. And I love doing anything with you. So
yeah, likewise.
Yeah. So I think that's, and what we're up to here, I feel like, is only just going to add value to my life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we have a heck of a lot of fun doing this and talking these ideas through, and we've helped each other with our own projects. And I think the perspective that we give each other when we're in those moments of difficulty is really helpful. And I definitely feel like, you know, I spoke a little bit in our last session about community and how I would like this to grow into a community. Mm-hmm. And so I invite anybody who's listening to reach out if you're in the process or starting to think about doing something new or different and not sure which steps to take. We have been through a lot of change, the two of us, Lynn and I, in a lot of different areas of our lives. And so I think it would be really fun to connect on that.
Thank you for joining us today at The Workbench. We welcome your comments and would love to hear what you are in the process of building. Look us up at KristinaAu.com, that's KristinaAu.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can help us with our build by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We aim to inspire and stir the pot for the next big thing you want to build or create. Until next time.